In fact, there's a song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. And the idea here depicts that God is that rock that can provide for us a shelter in a time of storm. Because when we picture the rock, the idea is that you can go under the rock, between the rock, in the midst of turbulent times, and you will find safety. And so throughout scripture, we see reference to God, the I Am, as the rock. And so it is indeed well fit to reference God as the rock of ages. He is a rock. He is a fortress. Let's have the passage.
I will love thee, O Lord, my
strength. I will love thee, O Lord,
my strength.
You are my strength.
The Lord
is. You see, when the turbulent times come, we cannot shield and protect ourselves. But when we have in God the I Am, then He can be that strength for us that weathers whatever blows may be coming our way. But not only is He our strength.
The Lord is my rock.
He is my rock.
And my fortress.
He is my fortress.
And my deliverer.
He is my deliverer.
My and God, my strength, in whom I will trust.
I can trust in Him as my strength. You see, we go through many things, but we cannot depend on our own strength to deal with the challenges. But God, the I Am, is our rock. You know, a very popular passage, another Psalm 23 and verse 1, says that we can have God not only as rock, but we can have Him as our shepherd. The Lord
is my shepherd.
My shepherd. And because He is my shepherd,
I shall not want.
I shall not want. What are we talking about? If we zero in on God the I Am, then what we are saying is that whatever it is that God needs to be, He can be. Whatever it is that we need Him to be in our lives, He can be. He is not limited. Do I need a rock for shelter? Do I need a shepherd for guidance? Do I need a fortress to protect me from all the challenges that may be bombarding me, the wars that may be raging around me? God is not limited because He is the I Am. He is the I Am. Not only is He the rock of ages, the shepherd, but we are told in Psalm 46 and verse 1 that our I Am is a present help in times of trouble. You know, sometimes we are going along with God and things are going relatively smooth and we hold on to Him. And then trouble comes. And instead of clinging more closely at that time, sometimes we just let go. But what we are told is that in times of trouble, God is there. Do we need somebody in time of trouble? Can we call on somebody to help us in times of trouble? Yes, we can. Because in God, we have the I Am. Can we have it read? Psalm 46 and verse 1.
God is our refuge and strength.
God is our refuge and our strength. This is strength coming again.
A very present help in times of trouble.
In times of trouble. So, when trouble comes, when those times of trouble come, He is not a future help. When trouble comes, He is not a past help, but He is a present help. Have you ever been in trouble and you want somebody to help you now and there's nobody? That is not the case with God. In times of trouble, He is help, and He is help in the present. But even though I've spent a few minutes on the I am, that's not what Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 is about. Yes, it speaks about God, but this I am is not really referencing God Almighty. So let us continue our analysis of Galatians 2 and 20. So I am crucified. I am crucified. Even when we add the word crucified, I am crucified, we may be led to think that this is really referencing Christ. Because the Son of God was, in fact, crucified. I am crucified. Can we put a question side here? I am crucified. You mean God? So if I am can be referencing God, then God was crucified. God crucified? Yes, He was. Jesus Christ is God. And even though God, immortal, invincible, He was crucified. Why? Because He loves us. Jesus Christ suffered and He died because of our sins. I am crucified. God crucified. Yes, He was. Let me change this question sign. I am crucified. That's a wicked act. Jesus Christ being crucified is not a normal death. The Bible give support to capital punishment. It was so in the days of old. You know, we're told that, you know, the law of the land does not bear the sword in vain. The policeman is not equipped with his gun in vain. So God expects that in keeping law and order today, that our police, Christian or not, in upholding the law may very well have to use that gun, and even if he has to use it fatally, he has God's sanction. Capital punishment, as society has evolved, has tried to make it as humane as possible. You know, the hanging, it's quick. Neck broken, you die. The electric chair, you sit in it, you turn on the voltage, it shocks the life out of you, it happens quickly, you are dead. The injection, they don't inject you with something that is going to allow you to stay days and days before you die. That lethal injection is designed to kill you instantly. Jesus Christ died, but he was crucified. History tells us that the crucifixion is designed to be a prolonged, torturous death. In fact, in the account of Christ's crucifixion, we recognize that it spoke about the hours. You know, the third hour. You mean he was hanging on the cross for some 3 hours? They talk about at the sixth hour, hanging on the cross for some 6 hours. And it's not that he was tied with some cord around his hands and probably some cushion to make it not squeeze his hand. There was nail driven in both hands, in his feet. That was a cruel death. 6 hours. And then as we continue to read the account, we hear about the ninth hour. Oh my God. For 9 hours, you are hanging on the cross. The ninth hour, that's a long death. How long is work? We go to work, alright, and most of us work like an 8 hour day. You know, if you work 40 hours for the week, so you work average five days per week, so that's some 8 hours. And we are sitting down, a lot of us in air condition, we are in a chair, we are around desk, even if we're walking up and down. And sometimes work feels long. So long. Picture you in pain, nailed, and you are there for your 8 hours plus lunchtime, 9 hours on the cross. That's what Jesus went through. I mean, that's torture. I mean, think about it. Some of us, we have been here less than 1 hour. Yeah, that's, you know, worship was called to order less than 1 hour ago. And for some of us, we already feel tortured. Not even 1 hour. But Christ was on the cross with nails in his hands, nails in his feet, marker on his head. Maka ever joke you yet? It's annoying. But here was this thorn, crown. I don't know why we call it crown. You know, that mimic of a crown with some long maka and that was pressed on his head. You know, mixed up everything else. And sometimes when we are going through bad times, you know, and you know, we have brothers and sisters that have been sick for a long time, and sometimes they're going through pain. And sometimes when we're going through bad things, if we have encouragement, it feels a little lighter. You know, we don't focus on it so much because we are being, it will soon be done. It's just for a time, and you have hope that after a little while, things will be better. But here was Jesus on the cross, and he knew that the ultimate end was that he was going to die. There was no recovery in sight. But on top of that, people were there jeering him, mocking him. You say you are the Son of God. Why don't you ask God to take you off of the cross then? So people were jeering him, spitting on him, making a joke of him. That in itself sort of multiplied everything. God crucified. That's a wicked act. But here's it. Christ was crucified because of our sins. Christ was crucified because of the wrong that we have done. Not anything bad. Not any sin that he did. But because of our iniquity. Our shortcoming. Our disobedience that caused Christ, God, the I Am, to be crucified. What a wicked act. So, we are still doing a walkthrough of the passage of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I hope you are still with me. Because how many words are in the verse, brother? I'm just at the third word. I am crucified. So I hope you are still with me. But I promise to put some gas in the lesson. Alright? The brother says there's about 40 words in the... Alright, so I'm 3/40th way through the lesson. Anyway. It becomes clear that the phrase is not only declaring the truth that Christ, the Son of God, was crucified, but somehow Paul was crucified with him. For I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. So yes, I am crucified. Yes, God was crucified. Yes, the I Am crucified. But we are crucified with him. Paul is declaring that he was crucified with Christ. You see, we share in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection in baptism. You know, we should point out that Jesus Christ being crucified was a sacrifice. That was a sacrifice made by him and made by God the Father. When we are crucified with Christ, it means that we are sharing in sacrifice. Serving God is about making sacrifice. But how do we share in the crucifixion? Well, we experience death, burial, and resurrection in baptism. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, know ye not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. So what we see is that when Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, he's actually showing his allegiance with Jesus Christ. And so it is impossible. It is not possible at all to be talking about being crucified with Christ, being associated with Christ, and not having experienced baptism. Because it is in baptism that we get into his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And for that reason, baptism has to be a burial. It can be no sprinkling. It can be no pouring. It must be an immersion, because you must experience with Christ his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We are crucified with Christ when we are baptized. It is little wonder that Peter declared in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, in response to a believing, inquiring, panicking, and convicted audience, that they must be baptized. You see, there are many in the religious world who would be in a similar position as these persons on the day of Pentecost. You see, they heard the good news about Jesus Christ. Possibly they have heard about his crucifixion. They probably got an insight as to how agonizing his death was. And probably they got an insight into the fact that all of that was done in order to save us. And so when these persons on the day of Pentecost, as is the case with so many persons in the religious world today, having an understanding, getting an insight into what Christ did to save us, they were believing people. Yes. Here these persons, they believed to the point that they started to inquire. You know, some persons believe, but they just leave it there. These persons says, no man, you mean we crucified the Lord? And let's not feel any show-off business here in 2,000 years later. Because they were no more guilty than we are today. Their sins then caused Christ to die as much as our sins now. Alright, let me say that the other way too. Our sins now caused Christ to be crucified just as much as their sins then. And so they believed that their sins caused them to have crucified Christ. Do you believe that your sins now caused Christ to have been crucified then? Well, you need to do something about it. You know what they did? They started to ask questions. And so they asked the apostles, what must we do? What are we to do? Now that we have killed him, now that we have caused the I Am to be crucified, what are we to do? You know, the passage used they were pricked in their heart. I call it that they were panicking. They are panicking. You know, like you realize that you're really doing something bad and you panic. That's how I picture the audience. Picture it. These were predominantly Jews, or all Jews, because they were really gathered there for a Jewish festivity. All their lives, they were groomed to be looking for the Messiah. All their lives, looking for the Messiah. And here the apostles now were saying to them, the Messiah that you grew up looking for, the same God you are serving that caused you to travel miles and miles to come to Pentecost, the same Messiah that you have been yearning for, longing for, he came and you killed him. And they panicked. What are we going to do now? How are we going to remedy this? Woe is me. I mean, they actually have their hands on their head. What am I going to do? I can't die now. Where is the hope? Those of us who are associated with denominations, those of us who would not have answered the gospel call, albeit that you grew up going to Sunday school, you grew up loving Jesus, or so you say. You grew up trying to do good and to shun wrong. Can you imagine on the day of judgment, God saying, I don't know you? Because you did not participate in the I am crucified. So you were not crucified with Christ. Wow. These persons realized the state that they were in. If you are a member of a church, and that church does not teach that you should participate in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ through baptism, and they say all you need to do is like just believe. These persons believed, but they still wanted to know what to do. They were panicking and they were inquiring what more should they do. So that we are in a denomination that is not teaching about baptism and associating your life with the crucifixion of Christ, you are in a bad place. You are in a dark place. You see that Acts? Read verse 38. Because when they believed in their panicking state and they were inquiring,
Peter replied.
Peter answered. Is that a wonderful thing? It is a good thing that when persons inquire about their spiritual state, that we can be there to give an answer. In fact, you know, we are encouraged to be ready to give an answer to anybody who asks us concerning the faith that is in us. Yeah, that's preparation doing. Yeah. But guess what? If we are a Christian, then even if we can go to some book, chapter and verse, you know what we can do? Tell them what we did. Start there. So, they asked, they inquired, and Peter answered,
repent and be baptized.
Repent and be baptized. So, a lot of persons are quick to say, yeah man, we need to repent. And these persons, you know, By just the way they were behaving, you know that there would be no hesitation in making that change, because that's what repentance is, a change. But he didn't stop there. Repent
and be baptized.
And be baptized. You know why they had to be baptized? Because they had to be crucified with Christ.
Every one of you.
I was going to leave that out, brother. But every one of you, no exceptions. No exceptions. Every one of us need to be baptized, because that's the only way we can join in the crucifixion of Christ. You see, the I am is crucified, but I am crucified with him. I am crucified with him. You know, for those of us who have been visiting for many weeks and months, the Apostle Paul, the same person who wrote and told us about this death, burial, and resurrection in Romans chapter 6 that we referenced earlier. You know, when we met the Apostle Paul first, he wasn't even Paul. He was Saul. When we met him, he was a man hitting out against the church. He was a man killing Christians. You know, one of the first things I said to you when I came up here is, you know, how fortunate we are that we can come out and just worship God on the first day of the week. You know, Paul was a man in those days that would seek out the first day of the week to find persons and kill them. Yeah. He was the chief, you know, stir the people and hold them coat and things so that he could throw and stone people to death. He was right there when they killed Stephen. But here it is. When we met Paul, and in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, he was crucified with Christ. You know?
And now.
No, don't read it. You see, it is Paul who wrote Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. It says, I am crucified with Christ. But I want us to notice, when he was crucified with Christ, what was happening. And I want us to look out for urgency. I want us to look out for urgency. Read.
And now. What are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for? That's the question. What version is that?
New International Version.
Okay. You know, the King James says, why tarriest thou? Why are you waiting? What are you waiting for? That's a question.
Get up. Be baptized.
What are you waiting for? Be crucified with Christ.
Amen.
What are you waiting for? Participate in his death, burial, and resurrection. What are you waiting for? Why are you tarrying? Why are you delaying? When Christ was crucified with Christ, he did not tarry. He did not delay. He did not wait. You should not either. Think about it. What are you waiting for? I am crucified with Christ. It's not a delay waiting issue. Paul was baptized. Paul was crucified with Christ. It's becoming clear to me that I'm not going to finish this lesson. All right. So I've now gone 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 after how long? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live.
And I no longer. But Christ lives in me.
I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live. No shocker here. It is no shock. It is no surprise. Because Christ himself declared that I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. John chapter 10 and verse 10. My question, are you ready for life? Are you ready for more out of life? Are you ready for abundant living? For many of us, we are simply going through life. We are merely existing. But Christ is come that we can have life and have it more abundantly. You know, there are some more things I was going to say about life and abundant living. But if you come out tonight, we can talk more about what is abundant life. You know, there are many that tells us, well, once you talk about abundant life, they start telling you about prosperity, riches. Abundant living is more than that. But come out tonight and we're going to talk about abundant living. Then it goes on to say, Yet
not I.
Not. Right, let me do this better. Yet not I.
But Christ liveth in me.
But Christ liveth in me. Alright, that looks like I put some more gas in the thing now. I'm moving faster. Alright. I think this is where I might end the lesson. So even though we are crucified with Christ, we still live. Alright, and we have abundant living. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. When Christ lives in us, it is no longer I, but Christ. It is no longer what I want, but what Christ wants. So yes, I want to buy the lotto, but Christ. Pick 3, pick 5, pick 7, pick 12, but Christ. Yes, I want to gamble, but Christ. It is no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. Yes, we want to gossip. Yeah, man. We want to tell you both what did I say? But Christ. You say, I want to gossip. But Christ. I want to fornicate. But Christ. But I'm a young man and I'm curious about the opposite sex. And I want that experience. But Christ says, wait. Yet not I, but Christ. There are a lot of things that I can find to do on a Sunday morning. There are a lot of things that I can do on a Sunday evening. It's a nice chill out time to go have ice cream on a Sunday evening. Sunday morning is a nice time, especially in the summer, to go take a dip at the sea. So I want to forsake the assembling, but Christ. Yet not I, but Christ. Yes, family time is good. You know, I really always have to keep up with the news. So I can't come out to Wednesday night Bible study because I need to catch up on the news. You know, why you have to start Bible study the same time as the news? Why do you have to have Bible study at the same time as my favorite soap opera and series? You know. Why is it that every time they're having a very good football match, it has to be a Wednesday evening at the stadium? I can't come Bible study them time there. Not forsaking the assembling for Christ. You see, Christ says, don't do it. So guess what? I'm not going to do it. Sometimes some people irritate you. And I want to lick them back, you see. But Christ. You know, I want to tell them both. But Christ. You know, so instead of telling them what I really want to tell them, it hurt them. I tell them about Christ. Yet not I, but Christ. You see, these are just some of the challenges that we come up across. Because our natural inclination is along these lines. But Christ. So, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Can I, as I close the lesson, I'm not going to go beyond here. Can I just spend a few minutes on that liveth? I thought I liked the S. You know, it has, in my Bible study, it is one of my cues. That ETH, you know, in studying from the King James Version. Anytime I see that ETH, I recognize that it is something that continues. So, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now follow me for a few minutes. We cannot turn back and think that Christ lives in us. Some of us feel comfortable knowing that I became a Christian. But now that I become a Christian, I can just step out of the church and I'm okay, you know, because I can just call upon God at some later date. And because I am still a Christian, it's just that I'm not so up there anymore. But what we have to be conscious is that we cannot turn back and think that Christ lives in us. We cannot only be Christians at worship time and say that Christ lives in us. It is not when we come into this place that we are Christians. We are Christians away from here. In fact, you know, here is really like pulling up your gas tank at a gas station. It is when you're driving to the country, you burn the gas. So to feel good and say, oh, I drive up to the gas station and I put in 5,000, and I look at my gas tank and say, wow, it's almost full. Now you feel nice. But how is your gas burning as you drive? So yes, I feel good when I leave the worship. I'm up there. But how is it burning? If you full up when you meet up, but by Monday morning, Monday evening, there's nothing spiritual about you anymore, then you're not getting good mileage out of the gas at all. Because it is what you do out there that really demonstrates if you are a Christian or not. That's what is happening when you are in the worship. We can be the most holy. Shout the most amen. Give the most nod when we are here. Feel the most goose pimples when we are here. But when we go out, we talk negative about one another. We don't share the gospel with those we come in contact with. We don't look out for our brothers and sisters who are not well. Our gas not really burning. We're not burning. So we cannot be Christians only at worship time and say that Christ lives in us. Attaining the am and the living. So the idea of the S is that we continuously do. But that I am. Alright, we spent a whole lot of time earlier talking about the I am referencing to God. Alright. But let's contemplate the tense I am. Notice that it is not I was. That will not get us very far. Can you imagine on the day of judgment? Oh God, you know, when I was in my 20s, I was a very dedicated person to you, you know. But as I got older, I dropped Christianity. It is I am, not I was. So it's not what I used to do, but what are you doing now? What are you continuing to do now? That is the important thing. I am, not I was. So we can't turn back and then think we are okay. It is what we are now. But not only that, notice it's not what I was, but it's not also what I will be. It is not what I will be, but I am. It's what is now that is important. So it will be no good excuse to say, you know, I am not faithful to you now, Lord. But in the future I will. That's not going to cut it either. It is what you are now. The tense, I am, not I was, not I will be, but what I am. But I'll have to leave the lesson with you here. So I won't get the opportunity this morning to look at the phrase, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I won't get the opportunity this morning to look at who loved me and gave himself for me. But there are some wonderful lessons in those phrases. But we would have covered enough this morning to let us recognize from this text, I am crucified. That we are crucified with Christ. But though we are crucified with Christ, it's not really us, but Christ who lives in us, who continues to live in us. We encourage those who are not part of the family that you don't delay. You make haste. Because we don't know when our time will run out. For us as Christians, let us be continuous in our quest to live with Christ. Because having been crucified with Christ, we now have to live. We now have to continue living with Him. We invite the song leader to come with a song of invitation. Don't delay. Why wait? Why tarry? Answer His call today.